Good day, friends. We greet you with our Bible open once again as we consider another lesson under the caption of the power of the prophets. How powerful is this teaching? We understand the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We understand it came by the authority of Jesus Christ. And as the Christian life stretches before us, we remember a scripture in Colossians 3:17 that says, "Whatsoever we do in word or deed, let us do all in the name of the Lord or by his authority." So the Word of God is powerful, whether you're dealing with the New Testament or the Old Testament. We're in the third lesson under the caption, Power of the Prophets, and we want to think about Jonah today. I know this is a very famous story with boys and girls and young people and older people. Hardly ever does a vacation Bible study go by, but what there's some reference made to Jonah. Really, what the story of Jonah is a story of repentance. You see, there had to be a repentance on the part of Jonah. He had to change his mind about... Well, he didn't think that he ought to go to Nineveh. There may have been fear in the picture. You can read this all in as you read the prophecy of Jonah. And so we find he got on a ship and started the other way. And you know the story, how the storm came and he was cast over, and there was a great fish that was prepared by the Lord. People refer to it as a whale. Well, that could well be true, but it was prepared by the Lord. And you know what happened. Joshua, or Jonah, found his way into the belly of the great fish. And he prayed to God, and finally he spewed him out, and then he went to the city of Nineveh. And then there was a teaching, of course, that the people in Nineveh, who were so sinful, that apparently Jonah didn't think he'd get the first base there. But you see, the people did repent. And God decreed then that the city should be spared for a period of time. Now, what's all this have to do with the power of the prophets? We see it shows in a very definite way this picture of a prophet of God back in the Old Testament, in telling us a very definite story about God's dealing with the human family. This is a different type of prophecy than we've given you so far. We referred to Isaiah and we referred to Micah, both a major and a minor prophet. We made reference to Joel, for it was Joel who said, you remember, that in the last days the Lord would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, as we have there in the second chapter of Joel, verses 28 and 29. But Jonah's dealing with this from a different standpoint, and I want to make this application in our lives today. You know, there is an indication in the Bible, very strongly taught, that God did repent. Back there in the sixth chapter of Genesis, when God looked upon the sin that was in the world, he simply said, "It repenteth me that I've made man." And when God did repent, he willed that a change be brought about. There is repentance, of course, in the minds of people who are serving the Lord. We never outgrow our need for repentance. Just like in the case of Jonah, who really realized this circumstance, how terrible it was, and how that he was opposing God, and how he got into trouble for doing this. So it is true with preachers of the gospel, it's true with people who attempt to serve the Lord, that we make mistakes. I think a lot of times of that great example in the 8th chapter of Acts of Brother Simon. I know there are people who tell me, well, Simon was never converted to Christ. That's why he tried to buy that power of the Holy Spirit that the apostles had. That just shows he wasn't converted. Well, I don't want to take that position, because when you say a person isn't converted, you're really looking into his heart. And John 7:24 says, "We're judged not that we're not to judge according to appearance, but we're to judge righteous judgment." And that's got to be based on facts. So since I can't see, as I read the scripture, really what was going on in the heart of this man, other than Peter said, "Your heart isn't right in the sight of God." Now, maybe this is what people refer to when they say the person wasn't converted. But I do know this one thing, whether he was converted or not, that he showed a quality that I think a lot of people need to have in their life today. You see, when Peter pointed out to him that he'd sinned because he thought that the power of the Holy Spirit that the apostles had could be purchased with money. He wanted to be able to do what the apostles said they were able to do. Now, there's people who claim to do that today, and I think there's a good lesson right there from the story of Simon. So he offered money that this might be purchased. And you remember Peter told him it was wrong, and he told him to repent and pray if perhaps the thought of his heart might be forgiven him. Now, this is an interesting point to me, because this shows that when a person commits a sin, and there are people who bring reproach upon the church, and they read the scripture that says we're to confess our faults one to another, and they realize they should do this, and so they do it many times publicly before the congregation. And I always try to point out to them, I can't judge their heart. You be sure, when you make this announcement before the church, when you talk to your brethren, you'll be sure also that you talk to God first. Because that's where we really come to the final analysis of whether our sin's going to be forgiven or not. So when it says repent and pray, if perhaps the thought of your heart might be forgiven, you would indicate that Peter's making it plain here that this is a course to take and we're trusting that God will forgive you. Well, we know that God wants to forgive us. But then Simon did something that really impresses my mind, at least. He asked Peter to pray for him. And I've asked congregations all over the country where we preach the gospel, how many of you, when you really think about it, we don't tell them to hold up their hands and tell us how many. We're not going to embarrass them. But how many of you have really asked your brethren to pray for you? Now, I believe this was an indication of some spiritual growth. So if my opinion, and opinions are a dime a dozen, but I'm just going to simply offer this for your consideration. You can accept it or reject it. I really think, as I talk to you, that this man Simon had obeyed the gospel, and I believe he was just as strongly converted as some of the other people. You see, he believed the gospel and he was baptized. You'll find that in Acts 8 and 13. After men and women had believed the gospel and been baptized in the city of Samaria, then Simon came along. He had been the main opposition to Philip and the gospel, but Philip just kept preaching it. He didn't get into personalities. He dealt with a personal lesson. And this man obeyed the gospel. So apparently he did repent and pray. So you see, in the life of one who has obeyed the gospel, in the life of one who's become a Christian, that repentance plays a part. And then, of course, the great teaching and the story of Jonah was the complete change on the part of the people from Nineveh. You know, I go across the country preaching the gospel, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, it won't do any good to talk to that person. You just can't win that person to Christ. That person's dyed in the wool. I've found this to be true of people who are following a false doctrine. They said they're dyed in the wool. Well, you see, we can't look into the heart of individuals. I've talked to people who I thought in my conversation with them that I wasn't getting to first base. But then it turned out, maybe not just right away, but it turned out later that maybe the very things that I had offered had maybe been presented to them before, and they thought about them. They turned them over in their mind, and eventually they did repent. You know, Peter said in Acts 3:19, in a wonderful sermon there in Jerusalem, he said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So the great lesson of Jonah and the city of Nineveh is a lesson that comes home to us in this 20th century. You know, I'm wondering, as you listen to the broadcast this morning, if you can see the need in your life for repentance. Now, this is a serious situation because I believe this has a lot to do with the very time when Jesus will come again. You know, the people in the days before the flood were a people who had come to the low degree, the low state, the degenerate state, of where every thought and every imagination of their heart was evil continually. And you know, when you get to a place like that, you have cut off, you sealed off any opportunity for repentance, because that's where repentance begins, is in the heart. So the people back there at Nineveh, even though they were very sinful, the Lord could see their heart. The Lord knew much better than Jonah did. And so Jonah should have gone, whether the people repented or not, and he found this out. And he did go. And I'm sure he was surprised to find that these people had turned from their sin. So you see, we do not know the hearts of men and women. You know, but the Lord does. And when he looked down upon the earth before the flood, and he saw that, well, there just wasn't any place left in their heart for repentance, then he decreed that I will destroy man that I've created. And amidst this whole thing, there was Noah that found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And how wonderful this is, and how we can praise the Lord for a man like Noah. You know, you may be living in the world today, and you may say, preacher, you know, there's so much sin about me on every hand, I just don't think I'm getting to first base. Well, we want to win souls to Christ, but first of all, let's keep in mind that we must indeed work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We have a labor to perform. It's a labor of love. The Lord's working with us in the Christian life. But don't let this condition of sin in the world get you down. Now, don't capitulate. Don't give up. Don't turn the reins over to sin. Don't let it reign in your mortal body. You're freed from sin. this is a distressing thing. They say, well, people won't hear the gospel. They just won't open their mind and heart. Well, I'm led to believe there still are people in the world that hear it and believe it and obey it, because if that were not the case, then truly Jesus would come. You see, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And I believe this is a pretty strong indication that the Lord is not going to come until God is able to look into the hearts of men and see that people are not going to repent. Now let's say, for instance, that the people over at Nineveh had not turned out to be the kind of people they were. Now eventually there was the wrath of God on the city. But supposing they hadn't been the kind of people at that time that they were, then we understand that God would have undoubtedly never even sent Jonah or requested that he go to the city of Nineveh. So as you look at the circumstance in life, and I want to talk to you people who are out in the world, you may be listening this morning, maybe you have no desire to be in the house of the Lord, you have no desire for the Lord. I want to ask you this question. Do you understand that this world is still here today, not because of the evil, not because of people just like your sinful self or somebody else's sinful self? Maybe you use the Word of God more than people do in church, but you take it in vain. Do you know this world isn't here because of people like you? This world is here because of the righteousness that is still to be found in the earth. And that's why Nineveh was able to stand. Because even though the people were guilty of sin, yet we find there was still the opportunity for them to turn from sin. And I want to plead with you today. I want to bring this to your mind and to your heart, that if you're a sinner, something can be done about that. God has already paved the way in sending His Son. He has made the opportunity possible that you should hear the message of repentance. Well, you say, I'm not as bad as some people. And if you heard the story of the people at Pentecost, you might say, well, I never did murder anyone. Well, isn't that interesting? Because these people who did murder the very Son of God were told that they could have a way out. And how did it begin? When they were pricked in their heart and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? What's the very thing that Peter told them to do? In Acts 2:38, he said, repent. And then he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you see, you may be vile today, but the Lord's looking at your heart. I realize some people have so sealed their lives off from the Lord, like we are told in one of the writings, that the Lord will send them strong delusions, that they'll believe a lie and be damned. This is serious business, and the story of the prophet Jonah that's tucked away in the Old Testament is as vivid a teaching as we have any place in the Old Testament, and it has its true picture of the need for repentance in the New Testament. You know, Paul stood there at Mars Hill in the city of Athens in Acts the 17th chapter, and he made a speech there before some outstanding people as far as the world was concerned. And he told them in Acts 17:30, at the time of this ignorance, and that was their idolatry, their sinful life, at the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So it's a commandment to repent, and that's why Peter told the people to do that. At Pentecost, that's why he told them to do that in Acts 3:19, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And when you repent, you turn from sin. You turn to your back is upon sin, and your face, so to speak, is toward Jesus Christ. Well, our time has passed on the broadcast today, but it's been good to be with you. I trust God will bless you this week as you obey the truth. Be in the house of the Lord. Tell a friend and neighbor about this broadcast, and we hope to come into your family circle again next week with another lesson under the caption, The Power of the Prophets.